Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
And good evening. Welcome to the gathering on Signs of Life Radio, our discussion show. Tonight's topic is going to be members share their afterlife questions. We certainly don't have all the answers, but we learn from each other. So if you had a question, some of you have already written in, but if you'd like to call in live, the number is 1-888-627-6008. I'm Bob Ginsberg, and I'm here with Tom and Melissa Gould and Fran Ginsberg. And right now, Fran is going to get us caught up on what's going on.
Okay, what's going on? We want to remind everybody all the time to check the events page on the website regularly as we post new announcements, new events, and all that kind of lovely stuff at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. And to let our listeners know about our free events coming up this month on August 12th from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 to noon Pacific, our Visionary Explorers group, which is our online meeting, and you have to pre-register for that and be approved. On August 22nd, 6:45 to 8:45 p.m., our Afterlife Discussion Group in Cold Spring Harbor, New York. And on August 27th, from 2:30 to 4:30 p.m., our Afterlife Discussion Group in Crown Point, Indiana. And don't miss our new Afterlife Luncheon event, which will premiere on October 29th, 2017, at the Hilton Long Island Huntington in Melville, New York. And we'll feature Forever Family Foundation certified medium Laura Lynn Jackson and New York Times bestselling author, investigative journalist Leslie Kane, presenting evidence of an afterlife from her new book, Surviving Death. Don't forget to sign up for our next webinar with our esteemed panel of Forever Family Foundation certified mediums, Joanne Gerber, Dave Campbell, and Amy Utzman. That's scheduled for Wednesday, August 9th from 9 to 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Our listeners will enjoy a brief presentation on receiving and interpreting spirit communication. And then for the remainder of the webinar, the mediums will field questions directly from our attendees. And for our listeners, we have a special member-only coupon code for a few free seats. Grab them while you can. The three mediums is one. If you are a member, and if you're not a member, or you are a member who has not yet satisfied our 30-day waiting period, you can enjoy a half-price seat with the code PANEL2017. Remember to sign up now to make sure you have a seat. Our annual grief retreat in Chester, Connecticut was filled and was enjoyed by a wonderful group. If you would like to secure a spot in our upcoming winter retreat in sunny and warm Florida, the dates are January 5th through 7th, 2018, and it's up on the website. If you're booking early, please keep in mind our no-refund policy. The weekend is all-inclusive and features spirit communication with Forever Family Foundation certified mediums Joseph Scheel, Janet Nohavik, and Doreen Malloy, working alongside our other professionals and facilitators. Like our summer retreat, it also includes a variety of activities and small breakout workshops, all designed to heal. Our Holidays Past Raffle 2017 is up and running on our website. Went up to 5 medium readings with Forever Family Foundation certified mediums Renata Santarelli, Renee Buck, Eliza Ray, Catherine Nadal, and Neil Zapowski. The drawing is set for December 23rd. Yep, that's just around the corner. So enter Enter often, as winners are selected randomly by a computer program from consecutive numbers that are assigned at entry. And please, please, please keep all of our programs going by visiting our website and clicking on the donation button. It's on every single page. Because of the work we do not receive the grants and funding that all other traditional not-for-profits enjoy. You can also help us pay our bills by participating in iGive.com, Amazon.com, Amazon Smile, and great nonprofits. And if you have a business and you would like to advertise on this show, email us at businessmembership@foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Back to you, Bob.
And as I mentioned, tonight's show is a continuing series where we like to have listener input, and you, some of you have mailed in questions and continue to do so. And the email address is radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or if you'd like to call in, the number is 1-888-627-6008. And please bear with me. I keep a running list of these questions that come in, and sometimes I forget to mark off the ones that that we've discussed. So if there's any duplication, I apologize in advance. Well, we probably have different answers. I would guess.
That's what we learn.
Linda has an interesting question. She said, I know that our loved ones go to a different dimension, but I've heard that it's only a higher frequency and they are right where we are. Then I've also heard that they're at the outer limits of our atmosphere. So if possible, I'd love clarification on where our loved ones now reside. Well, you know, I understand the question. I mean, you know, so a lot of the mediums and metaphysical practitioners will say that our loved one, or even scientists, that these other dimensions are just a frequency change, and
it
could be right in front of our face,
right.
And it's another world. And then, but then she's saying she hears that some people say that they're in our own atmosphere. If you go to the outer limits, that's where they are.
That's creating this heaven thing, you know, like let's go to where the clouds are.
Yeah, I think it's that feeds into raising vibration. Doesn't mean raising altitude.
Yeah.
I'm fully behind the first supposition that, yeah, they're right with us and around us. They're occupying the same space, just at a different energy vibration.
Yeah, and by suggesting that they're at the outer limits, like there's a boundary that gives it some sort of a linear type of interpretation, and we're not thinking in, you know...
It also gives it a material interpretation, which we know that they are not part of the material world. So it really doesn't work.
Right. Well, it's a hard concept for people to wrap their heads around, you know, that they could be right in front of us, you know, and yet be in a totally different realm or world, right? If we think in physical terms, how hard is that to believe? But yet their world is realer than our world, you know, and there's just this little...
Right, but we've heard time and time again, if you can, and mediums can do it, and many people have taught themselves how to do it, is to have remove their consciousness, their mind, from the confines of the spirit of the physical world, and then they can be at that frequency or at that dimension where they can see them and they can communicate with them.
All right.
That one we'll be discussing again, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Rather than check it, revisit.
Put a circle around.
Helga writes that, I've been told by a medium that I will be able to communicate directly with my loved one, and I'm struggling to figure out how this can be done. There are signs that he's here. Again, that was confirmed by the medium, but I don't have any. I haven't had any dreams or other direct signs from him. What can you recommend? And then she adds, do you think the practice of Reiki could help? I guess in answer to that Reiki question, couldn't hurt.
Wait, would that be giving Reiki or receiving Reiki? Because we know that Reiki practitioners, when they reach a certain developmental stage in their Reiki work, that they often share that they see spirit, they feel spirit, they hear spirit. Sure. So the answer to her question is yes, if she's the Reiki practitioner. Receiving it, maybe, maybe not.
Yeah, like you say, I think we hear that more from the practitioners,
right.
And it makes sense because I don't know much about Reiki, but it's an altered state of consciousness.
Right.
So any altered state of consciousness that you get into would be conducive to spirit communication. You agree?
Well, also, it steps up the flow of energy through your body. It deals with blockages, and anything you can do to deal with, to get rid of your blockage of energy will help in that as well. Receiving Reiki, acupuncture, and of course, meditation is, I think, the best form of practice that you can do if you want to get into this.
Yeah, so that's a good point. So then as a recipient of Reiki, that might be beneficial too, because if you're opening up blockages,
there's another point. And I think when mediums say things like this to lay people, they create a need and a desire and this image that, oh, all I have to do is just let it happen and it's going to happen. But I'm going back to a presentation that Rebecca Lo Cicero did at our grief retreat, where she explained that wanting something and desiring something and expecting something is a manifestation of the physical world. And no matter how much you want or think or believe that it belongs to you, that's going to block it. That's not going to allow it from happening. So when mediums say things like this medium said to her, they're creating a wall of desire that's not going to allow it to happen.
Yeah. And also, we also talk about how mediumship can be directly correlated to playing the violin. We all want to be able to play the violin at Carnegie Hall, or not all of us, perhaps, but if you pick up a violin, you wish you could be good enough to play at Carnegie Hall. And, of course, that's not going to happen automatically. And sure, a medium or another violinist can say, well, you certainly have an aptitude for this instrument. You could be good on this instrument. And the people go, great, and they run home and they pick it up and, wait a minute, the guy said I could do this. Well, like everything else, practice, practice, practice is going to get you there.
Right.
Yeah, it's the old lotto story, you know. Oh, please, God, let me win the lottery.
Right.
And then the guy sits back and he keeps not winning, and then God says, hey, at least buy a ticket.
I like God's voice.
I recognize him.
Yeah.
We're going to go to a break, but we should mention the other part of a question is that, you know, she fits in with a lot of people that, you know, they haven't had dreams, they haven't had direct signs, that's somehow stressful, and they try to make them happen, and we know you can't. So just all these practices like Reiki or
any relaxation.
Any relaxation, might be helpful. And as you mentioned, with the dream, in the dream workshop, right, to set your intention, you know.
Set your intention, relax, and as another medium shared with us, have the intention that you are going to visit them in your dreams. Don't expect them to have to keep coming to you.
Right.
Go to them.
Yeah. I wonder if they look for dream visits from us.
I hope so.
Why not? All right, we're going to go to a break, come back in a couple of minutes. Stay with us, and we'll be talking about a lot more of your questions.
The Camlack Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the Camlack Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. After-death communication is an accepted occurrence in many cultures throughout the world. But for many others, proof of this phenomenon is essential. And research shows that contact helps move people through loss and grief. The Sign Registry allows people to register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to specific loved ones. Contact the Forever Family Foundation at foreverfamilyfoundation.org or go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Welcome back to The Gathering on Signs of Life Radio. The number here is 1-888-627-6008, and we're taking member questions about the afterlife, things related to life after death. You know, I mentioned before casually, I wonder if people in the afterlife want dream visits from us, and then there's a question, do people in the afterlife dream?
Good question.
Well, now, does dream mean you slept?
Not necessarily.
You could have waking dreams, right?
Daydreams.
It's an interesting question because, you know, we're still consciousness there.
I think life is but a dream for them.
Yeah, I mean, it would seem like everything's sort of dream.
Yeah, it's all dream-like.
It's all thought transference. And
I think you're right. If removing yourself from the physical confines is your dream state, which allows you to communicate with both sides of the veil, then, yeah, they dream. constantly.
Right. So if we are able to get into a state where we can go out of body or visit them as opposed to them visiting us, you know, then they are getting, you know, you could call it a dream visit, but they're getting a visitation from us.
Well,
maybe they look forward to that as much as we look forward to their dream visit.
Right, and that makes sense because they try so hard to come visit us. But here's the interesting thing, because a lot of people report having a visitation that's either tactile or visual. So they have to come into our world, and they have to operate within the confines of a three-dimensional world.
Yeah.
Where so now they have to change their quote-unquote vibration or the way they exist in order to. And we have to do the same thing. If we want to have an out-of-body experience and go travel and see them, we have to do the same thing. We just have to remove the confines of the physical world in order to allow our consciousness to go there and visit with them.
Yeah.
So I'd say they'd be just excited to see us as they are to.
I want to say a lot harder for us to visit them, but for them to, you know, it's a lot harder to raise your frequency than to lower it.
Maybe not.
Maybe
I have heard time and time again talking about how they would love to do that and appear standing in front of you, but it takes so much practice and difficulty for them to get their energy there that we don't see them that often.
Yeah.
In fact, I think that we, elevating ourselves into a dream state, see them way more than just general people see them coming to us.
Yeah, maybe there's a similar or a reverse Monroe Institute on the other side.
Yeah.
Do you think we miss the physical world after we die and move to the spirit world?
Mm. See, speaking from the physical point of view, I'd say, oh, can't wait to get out of here.
Yeah.
Right? So I would say no, but then we don't know on the other side if it's everything is so loving kindness, all positive and good and well-intentioned, you can't appreciate it unless you have some negative stuff. So maybe there's that desire to come in to balance things out a bit.
I agree with that, too. Otherwise, why would people come back? If you didn't miss it, some of it, I mean, certainly we've heard messages that say that it's absolutely beautiful because your vision is not impaired by physical eyes, and you see things that you never thought you could see, and the colors are more vibrant from that point of view. But I think the sensual part of it, you know, just feeling the touch of someone else, you don't feel the touch over there like you feel it over here. And so, yeah, I think you could miss that. And just, you know, because we as beings, conscious or otherwise, have a competitive nature, and maybe it's that, the conflict that you come back for, to see if you can win this time. You know, it's a game. You put in your quarter and you play the game again.
Well, I know that I forget which book it was. Maybe The Unobstructed Universe, where they described this physical world as a physical rush. You know, it's one little segment of your life. You know, where you can't get that physical rush anyplace else in your continuum of existence, but this physical world, so that's possible. But also the word miss, I think they have a different perspective. You know, it's not like we missed them. They know that there's life after death.
Right.
So it's not that grieving, heartache missing, you know, it's just maybe a desire, you know.
In the numerous group readings that we've all been in the room for, we have never heard a spirit come through saying they miss that physical interaction. They see it all
true.
The time. And the feeling that you get when you have a physical embrace or such, I think they can emulate in their minds. They're feeling it anyway. They're just
or feeling the same warmth and glow you get from that embrace or closeness.
Well, that is absolutely true, because you don't, when you hug somebody, you're not feeling it necessarily with your hands and arms. You're feeling it in your mind by the electrical impulses that are sent to your brain saying, hey, this feels good. And your brain goes, oh, that feels good. So you could get those same electrical impulses, because I believe that the other side deals a lot in energy, electrical and such. So, yeah, maybe you can get the same sort of joy anyway.
And I feel badly for some of the folks receiving these messages who say, well, I miss them. Why don't they miss me? And it's not a matter of them not missing you. They're there. They don't. How can I miss you if you haven't gone away?
Right. And I mean, think of it this way. If you're a loved one, you're watching TV together, and your loved one gets up and goes to the bathroom, do you sit in the couch going, oh, I miss them so much because, you know, I'm not going to see them for another 3 minutes? It's analogous to this, because life is eternal. So if somebody passes and somebody's left behind, the person who passes knows that, well, within 20 years, 25 years, even 100 years, I'll see that person again. And in the scope of eternity, that's
3 seconds
quicker than a bathroom visit.
Well, speak for yourself. I mean, I could go through the New York Times. Okay, here's one. Do you think people ever get bored on the other side?
That's a good question.
That is a good question.
I don't think bored is the right word. I think that
these are human words.
Yeah, they're human words, and they're all based on, again, we go back to the material world. But I think that, again, there's an experience that they can have by coming into the physicalness of the world, of our physical world, which is something that they will want to and successfully experience now and then when they visit.
Yeah, you know, I don't really know if they really crave the physicalness at all. I mean, if you're this entity of thought and you could travel the universe and yeah, go wherever you are and manifest, I wouldn't be interested in the physical. Hell, I've got everything at my disposal. I don't
well, see
boredom
as a physical. Physical.
Yeah.
They create
right
a situation that is
how could you be bored?
You don't. It has every element of the physical world because they've created it.
Yeah, and you can go anywhere, anytime in history, any place in history is yours for the viewing.
So we assume, you know, that also could be a learned trait. You know, I mean, maybe not everybody could do that at the beginning, but
yeah,
but certainly.
Well, the NDEers say. Past, present, future.
That's
you'll
true.
See all at the same time.
Yeah, and they've only adapted to the afterlife for 5 minutes or less, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's
true. So the same thing about, I guess as a follow-up to that, you know, what about emotions like fear? That's a human emotion.
Yeah.
You know, that's, so I don't think there's anything like that, you know.
I think those are the things that create problems here. Fear, jealousy, desire,
pain.
All those things that if we can learn to let go of, even for a moment, even for a few minutes, then we can experience that non-physical bliss.
Yeah.
And isn't that what meditation is all about?
Exactly.
All right, so if we assume, because of everything that we've learned, that people in the spirit realm can advance to higher realms. Not everybody does, but certainly there are numerous realms to advance to. Is the reverse also true? Can they move down?
As in being demoted or to visit?
I think that the question is as if being demoted, you know, so you're residing, for lack of a better description, let's say there's 7 realms, and you're in realm 4, and you're not doing so well. Could you move to 3? Do you think that there's...
That kid TV show, I don't know if it's still on anymore, The Good Life.
The Good Place.
The Good Place. That was very clever and it quickly, what's the term, I jumped the shark.
Yes, yes.
But it was it really aligned the initial episode with so much of what we believe in.
Mm.
But then there were misconceptions happening, and people did have to go back to the not so good place.
I think there's
continuous advancement. Once you're not going back, once you're.
I think that word enlightenment and light, and you see it used in a lot of the ancient scriptures and in the religious dogma. This comes through over and over and over again. So it is a growth, quote-unquote growth process of our soul to grow, to be enlightened. You can't subtract it.
Yeah, you can't unsee the light.
Right. So,
do you think that after a person dies that they want their organs donated?
After they die?
Yeah. So they're looking down at their body. They see, you know. They
hey, make... wait.
Well, I'm going to sign that card.
Or, maybe wait, I need that heart.
Of course, because that would have saved somebody else or bettered the world. We know from so many reports that anything, any possession, anything physical that we no longer have use for has absolutely no meaning once we cross over. So organs should go along with that.
Yeah. And yet, when you first cross over like that, you know, you may still have an attachment to the physical. You know, maybe you don't even realize that you're not in the physical.
So you might be
protective. I think certainly as time, I say time, but, you know, in our terms, went on, what you said is true, but there might be a period of confusion at the beginning. Hey, that's my body. What do you
think? make sure you're not just having an NDE.
Right. or it pretty much settles it.
Or if you've seen Monty Python's The Meaning of Life, they show up at the guy's door and say, oh, we're here for your liver. What? I'm still using it. Oh, you signed right here for it.
Right. But, you know, I mean, I guess that also gets into our purpose and the reincarnation theme. If you were here for a specific reason, that could be the reason, you know, if you're fulfilling your...
Absolutely. That's so important for people to remember. You know, there doesn't have to be a clear-cut reason for your existence that you might know about, but ultimately...
So it's said that our loved ones in spirit help us when it's time to our time to cross. We know that in deathbed visions and so forth. So what happens when a child passes who never knew any people that are in spirit? I guess, you know, she's asking who helps the child if they didn't know anybody that had already passed.
Well, there's family. So just because the grandparent, for example, passed before the child was born, the soul is the soul is the soul is still going to recognize that part of their family.
They knew them before they got here.
Yeah.
And that's reuniting.
I mean, that assumes that every baby, that's square one in their existence, and I don't think so.
We also have heard in readings where a child who dies at birth or a miscarry really only existed to be loved and wanted. So the grieving parents, you know, feel this tragic loss because they loved this baby, and that was the sole purpose of the baby coming into existence at all, to be loved, to be wanted. And they were. So,
And we hear all those cool reports of these little toddlers looking at pictures of great grandma that, of course, they never knew. But who's that? That's great grandma.
our last grandson, Lincoln, was particularly drawn to that. Well, I didn't use that photo for our grief retreat, but a photo of my father, who he had never met. And it was on a table with a number of other photos. And he kept going to that one. Who knows?
He knew him.
Those are the best. Yeah, like knowing is a word, is a human word. You know, I guess knowing means a lot different than these on a soul level.
We'll go back to the same thing that we keep saying over and over again. We're one consciousness. We're all connected. So it doesn't matter who's there greeting you. You're connected to them.
Right. True. All right, we're going to go to a break. A lot more to come. Stay with us. Be back in a few minutes.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one. Does consciousness survive death? Can technology be used to interact with the deceased? Can hearing from the dead heal the living? At the Windbridge Institute, we are working to answer these and similar questions. Through our studies with certified research mediums, we are examining psychic abilities and communication with the other side, offering insights into the limitless nature of consciousness and unlocking the possibilities of our bodies, minds, and spirits. Be a part of it. Become a Windbridge member today. Please visit www.windbridge.org to learn more.
Hello, my name is Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death. Heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's drparisetti in one word, .com.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to the Gathering on Signs of Life Radio. We're addressing listener member questions about the afterlife. Here's one. How can you tell if the medium is reading my mind?
Mm-hmm.
that is a good one, because I had taken my sister and my mother to a reading with a medium, and I wasn't part of it, but I sat in the other room, and I could hear every word, and some of the information that came through, I could recognize, but my sister and my mother did not. And later on, when I said, "Mom, you know who that person was," and my mother and I, when I was able to quickly come up with the name, "Oh, she was just reading your mind." Well, I wasn't in the room. I wasn't part of the reading. So, but that's a big, you know, that's a big concern for a lot of people. And I do think mind reading is a pretty awesome talent, but it isn't spirit communication.
Right.
But then there are also, in many readings, the medium will bring through something that you never knew about, and you had to go and ask somebody. Or
something that hasn't
up,
happened yet. Something.
I guess Angelina talks about the book or something that their deceased loved one was working on, and nobody in the family even knew that she was working on this book, and Angelina said, "Go up in the closet and look in the shoebox." And sure enough, they went home, looked in the shoebox, and there it was. So if you didn't know it was there to begin with, how could you read your mind?
Right, it's not on your mind.
And of course, the skeptics will stretch that and say, well, yes, so they weren't reading your mind, but they were reading somebody's mind, you know?
the other person.
Like it's not a wow thing to do to begin with.
That's right.
Right.
They weren't communicating with spirit. They were just reading spirit's mind. So, you know, what is that?
But I think we always tell our, you know, people who meet with mediums, is the information evidential? And I don't think a mind reading aspect of it would fall under the category of evidential.
Right, but you know, on the other hand, so if somebody went to a reading and, you know, kept saying over and over, you know, "Dad, you know, I need you to come to me with a sign," and maybe she's got a specific sign in mind, and a medium's communicating with Dad, and that sign comes through, then you can make the argument that the medium could have been reading the person's
right,
mind.
But that's where our mediums always advise people not to come to readings with expectations.
Right.
You know, but invite them in, lie to, they do, but then they're setting themselves up for the failure.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's nothing you could do at that point. We're giving them the best advice possible.
Right.
They don't want to listen. They don't want to listen.
Yeah, I mean, the only way of truly doing it would be to make everybody have a lobotomy before they came to the reading, and I would be clear.
And they'd probably be able to communicate on their own in that case.
The brain is not necessarily the center of consciousness, so we can't.
No.
So, does the soul leave the body before physical death?
I think Tom and I would say yes.
I agree.
From our experience with the mother.
Oh, well, yeah, I actually kind of thought I felt it, but my mom wanted to stay home, even though we found a hospice nearby that was fantastic, really. But we were honoring her wishes until the point where she had lost consciousness. She didn't know where she was, and the aide that we had, who was the live-in, really couldn't handle her at that point. So we said, "Yeah, sorry, Mom, but you know, the best place for you at this point is the hospice." And when the ambulance came to bring her to hospice, I helped move her from her bed to the gurney, and I felt something go through me when we took her off the bed, and I felt that was her soul leaving her body, and she never did regain consciousness. It was a day or two later that she finally stopped breathing, that her body left, but I think that she had left. She figured, "Nope, I'm staying home. I'm leaving now. If you're taking my body, I'm out of here."
I agree, and we do have that from both medium readings and from near-death experiencers, this concept of no pain.
Yeah.
So that the soul leaves the body before the body goes into that arrested state or the automobile accident, whatever it is. And even so, even if somebody survives an automobile accident, they will say, I had an out-of-body experience. I left my body. I watched the accident, and then I went back into my body. Yeah. So,
and people describe it in all different ways, and we know people, loved ones sitting with people with that's happened, describe seeing a mist, like a cloudy mist sometimes that seems to just, you know, dissipate, you know, or move up in the air. People talk about seeing the silver cord, right, where they actually see this.
They see it.
They see the silver cord clearly, you know. And then there's also the question, I know the question was probably, does it leave the body just before physical death? But I guess you could make the argument that our soul leaves our body to visit.
When we talk about the deathbed visions, isn't that what's happening? The body is, you know, going there, coming back, going there, coming
or
back.
When we talk about going to sleep and having a dream.
Right.
You know, we're seeing all sorts of things in our dream, and then in the morning we're back in the bed. But
right.
Who, you know, where's the soul while that's going on?
Yeah, I guess it depends on how you define soul, you know. I mean, if soul is consciousness, sure, you know, it's always going back and forth. So there's a lot of terms that we use for soul. What do spirits have to say about the presence of former pets who have died?
They definitely turn up.
They do.
Yep.
They do. I think people feel them. They sometimes feel them jumping up on the bed.
Oh, my gosh. What about the grief retreat? The pets were the stars of the show that weekend. It was an amazing situation where one person was red and the dog was next to this gentleman. And the next day, his daughter was taking a nap and dreamed about her sister walking a dog, and there was another girl walking a dog at the same time, and our friend Marianne had the same vision of her daughter walking the dog with another girl, and then the two got together and found out that they were simultaneously having the same experience in different areas, all brought together by the pets.
You know, sometimes you watch a medium reading, and half the reading is bringing through pets.
Yeah.
You know, for I guess it's hard from the evidential point of view, you know, for the pets to bring through specific evidence.
Yeah.
You know,
but they did get the make and model, if you will. You
yeah,
it was
right.
A lab. The guy had a lab. You know, what do you? Yeah, there's out of hundreds of types of animals that you could have to come through with the exact.
And then there was the overweight one.
Yes.
But I think what's interesting, and we're seeing this over and over again at the retreats, is, I mean, this time, yeah, it was a lot of animals, but we've had situations where people at the retreats who don't even know each other have simultaneous experiences that when we do a group share comes out, and it's one of those wow moments, one of those, you know, and it is, I think, because you've got this group of like-minded people. They're all on that same journey at the same time, and they're connecting.
Yeah.
They're connecting, and so we're seeing it more and more often. I think it's a
and also
cool thing.
The coin of the realm of the universe is love, and
right.
Can you match the love you have for your pets sometime? Not at all.
Yeah.
So that's,
well, that's pure unconditional love.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, that's like sometimes in the medium readings, I think why pets come up so often is it's not always that the pet is making an appearance. It's that the loved one on the other side is giving identifying information to let them, the sitter, know that it's them. So they'll mention a pet that they had, and they'll mention that the pet's over there, and, you know, it's another form of evidence, and that's the most important thing. Get the evidence out there so the sitter knows that you still exist. So.
Our speaker, Lynn, spoke about, from people's experiences with NDEs, not only the beautiful sights and sounds, but a lot of animals that abound over there. So I guess it's a common theme.
Yeah, they would be there. Why would they not be there? But I think what's really interesting is you often hear here in the physical world where somebody's caught a glimpse of the pet still in the house, mm-hmm. out of the corner of the eye or something, a toy mm-hmm. that was left behind by the animal is now in a different place.
So
they're able to visit even though they're not able to convey via medium secret word or you know, something that a person would be able to do.
Yeah. Do our deceased loved ones have free will? And if so, does that mean they can contact us at any time that they would like to do so?
I believe it's our soul that has the free will, not our physical body.
Right. We have it all the same free will we have now, we have there. That's answer to part one. Part two, I think we answered earlier, they cannot communicate any time they want because of it's work for them to get their vibration or the energy to a place where we can see it.
And we have to be receptive at the same time.
Yeah. That's the other thing.
Got to line up.
They're showing us. They're communicating all the time, and we're walking by. Go, well, isn't that a coincidence?
Yeah, cell phone is off.
You know, I got in my car. I was thinking about my loved one, and their favorite song came on the radio. What a coincidence! Well, that's them saying yes. Thank you for thinking about me.
That happens to us a lot.
A lot, yes. Yeah.
And the same way in a physical existence, because you have free will doesn't mean that you can necessarily make it happen. I mean, I have a strong desire to play right field for the Mets, but I'm not going to make that happen. You know?
Well, have you tried?
Well, in the Mets, I got a shot. I said it before Tom would say it.
Right? We got a flight once to change the arrival gate. Yeah, because we had parked our car at one terminal when we left, but when the plane came back a couple of days later, it was returning to a different terminal, and we were just so, now we're going to have to get a cab and at the airport and take it to the other terminal. So we decided, let's just concentrate that it'll go to Terminal 2 instead of Terminal 4. And they had already announced that it was going to Terminal 4, but we just concentrated on 2, and plane pulls up at Terminal 2.
Wow.
So, cool.
I'll give that credit to Fran. I wasn't getting up, but I was sort of looking askance. And then afterwards, I was like,
I was trying to convert our last flight
that was pretty cool.
to Charlottesville, but that didn't work.
Yeah, that didn't work out.
He wasn't cooperating.
I'm learning. All right, so I think that about wraps it up. If you want to give us our healing list.
Yes, we now ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind as we visualize the healing light upon Catherine Pye, Alex Hanna, Veronica James, Richard LeFay, Lauren Ramnath, Vince Mataya, Isabel Ginsberg, Diane Archangel, James Rafferty, Donna Mello, Stanley Mullen, Marianne Pierzga, Glenna Irwin, David Haith, Michael Tim, Helen Montalto, Cynthia Post, Evelyn Ingram, Tina Young, Matt Mello, Linda Ellis, Eddie Coons, Sandy Raybould, Ed O'Brien, and let us now, as one consciousness, give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.